Good morning. Happy Easter, Passover, and April Fool's Day, all on one day. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. I am the Reverend Renee Rohutsky. I have the privilege of being a member of this congregation as well as the affiliated community minister. I'm joined this morning by Worship Associate and Commission Lay Minister Lori Fatchett McGee, Director of Religious Education Lily Rappaport, Music Director Hal Walker, and our usual cast of thousands, the Tarnished Brass Group, the Tone Chimers, the Peace Choir, the Children's Choir, as well as greeters, soundboard operators, nursery staff attendant, RE assistant, and the other support staff, Mary Beth Hannon and Brian Malloy, our administrator and sexton. We are indeed blessed to have so many helping hands in this congregation. And I think there's something else. What else is happening after the service? Does anybody know? Easter egg hunt, yes. So any children who want to hunt for Easter eggs, meet out in the foyer. That's where all the books are. And wait there, and then there'll be some adults that will lead you out to where the eggs are. So in honor of Easter, I'm going to ask you to pass the peace in kind of a Buddhist way, wishing to those around you, may you be at peace and at ease. So please wish peace upon your neighbors.
As frozen earth holds the determined seed, this sacred space holds our weariness, our worry, our laughter, and our celebration. Let us bring seed and soul into the light of thought, the warmth of community, and the hope of love. Let us see together, hear together, love together. Let us worship.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there lived a people in the central valley of Mexico called the Toltecs. The Toltecs had many riches. They had jade, and they had coral, and they had gold, and they were able to construct their homes and live with many riches. But they didn't have anything to sustain themselves for future generations. So they prayed to their gods to help them. And the gods sent Quetzalcoatl down to Earth to help the Toltec people find something that would sustain them. And once he reached the Earth, Quetzalcoatl mysteriously fell into a deep, deep sleep. And in his sleep, he dreamed that he went on a journey. And at the end of the journey, he came to an enormous ant hill. And he could see the ants in the dream, but he didn't know what they were doing. When he woke, he started on that journey. And he walked and he walked and he walked until he came to that very same ant hill that he had dreamt of. And there were the ants working laboriously, taking something in and out and in and out of their anthill. But he didn't know what it was. So he asked his parents in the sky to please help him find out what it was that these ants were working so hard to hide and store in their anthill. So the gods answered his prayer, and they made Quetzalcoatl into the shape of an ant. And when he was an ant, he was able to go into the ant hill and see what they were doing. And those ants were carrying around this tiny, tiny little seed that was golden and looked like a precious gem. The ants were very generous with their gifts, and they gave Quetzalcoatl some seeds to take back with him. So Quetzalcoatl left the anthill, and he became a man again, and he carried those seeds back to the Toltec village. The Toltecs were very worried that someone would steal their treasure. They needed to hide it. So what did they do? They buried it in the earth. And the next day, when they woke up, they were amazed to see 4 stalks of golden corn. And from this corn, they were able to sustain themselves for generations. This is the gift of Quetzalcoatl to the Toltecs. Come, let us worship together.
The Three Seeds, Part 1. Once upon a time, the tribe of humanity embarked on a long journey called separation. It was not a fall, nor an expression of some innate evil peculiar to the human species. It was a journey with a purpose, to experience the extremes of separation, to develop the gifts that come in response to it, and to integrate all of that in a new age of reunion. But we knew at the outset that there was danger in this journey, that we might become lost in separation and never come back. We might be so alienated from nature that we would destroy the very basis of life. We might become so separated from each other that we would become incapable of rejoining the community of all being. In other words, we foresaw the crisis we face today. That is why, thousands of years ago, we planted 3 seeds that would sprout at the time that of our journey that separation reaches its extreme. 3 seeds. Reminding us how to be human. Imagine you were alive 30,000 years ago and had a vision of all that was to come. A world where humans fear to drink of the streams and rivers, where we live among strangers and we don't know the people next door, where we are so broken that we dare not remember that it isn't supposed to be this way. Imagine you saw it all coming. How would you help people 30,000 years thence? How would you send information, knowledge, aid over such a vast gulf of time? You see, this actually happened, and that is how we came up with the three C's.
The forest was alive with the sounds of squawking birds and howling monkeys. Two people walked into the rainforest. All grew quiet as the creatures watched them and wondered why they had come. The larger person pointed to a great kapok tree and then left. The smaller person took an axe and struck the trunk of the tree. Whack! Whack! The sound rang through the forest. The wood was very hard. Chop! Chop! Soon the person grew tired, sat down to rest at the foot of the great kapok tree. The heat and hum of the forest lulled him to sleep.
This tree is a tree of miracles. It is my home, where generations of my ancestors have lived. Do not chop it down. We have seen man chop down one tree, then come back for another. The roots of the great trees will wither and die. There will be nothing left to hold the earth in place. When heavy rains come, the soil will be washed away, and the forest will become a desert.
Squawk! Squawk! Do not cut down the trees. I have flown over the forest and see what happens when trees are chopped down. People set fire to clear the underbrush, and soon the forest disappears. Where once there was life and beauty, only black and smoldering ruins remain. Squawk, squawk, squawk.
Beep, 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 beep. A ruined rainforest means ruined lives. You will leave many of us homeless if you chop down this kapok tree.
The kapok tree is home to many birds and animals. If you cut it down, where will I find my dinner?
Have you thought about the future? What happens tomorrow depends on what you do today. If you chop down this tree, then your children will live in a world without trees.
How much is beauty worth? Can you live without it? If you destroy the beauty of the rainforest, on what would you feast your eyes? When you awake, please look upon us with new eyes.
The person woke up and saw all the creatures who depended on the great kapok tree. What wondrous and rare animals they were. He stood up and swung the axe back as if to strike the tree. Suddenly he stopped and dropped the axe and walked out of the rainforest. The first seed planted by our ancestors was the wisdom lineages, lines of transmission going back thousands of years that have preserved and protected essential knowledge. In every part of the world, various wisdom traditions have passed down teachings in secret. Wisdom keepers, Sufis, Taoists, wizards, Zen masters, mystics, gurus, and many others, hiding within each religion, kept the knowledge safe until the time when the world would be ready to claim it. That time is now, and they've done their job well. The time of secrets is over. When we still aspire to widening our conquest of nature, we weren't ready to hear about union, connectedness, interdependency, interbeingness. We thought the answer was more control, more technology, more logic, a better engineered society of rational ethics, more control over matter, nature, and human nature. But now the old paradigms are failing, and human consciousness has reached a degree of receptivity that allows this seed to spread across the earth. It has been released, and it is growing inside of us en masse. The second seed was the sacred stories. Myths, legends, fairy tales, folklore, and the perennial themes that keep reappearing in various guises throughout history. They have always been with us, so that however far we have wandered into the labyrinth of separation, we have always had a lifeline, however tenuous and tangled, to the truth. The ancients, knowing that the truth would be co-opted and distorted if left in explicit form, encoded it into stories. Myths and fairy tales represent a very sophisticated psychic technology. Each generation of storytellers, without consciously intending to, transmits the covert wisdom that it learned, unconsciously, from the stories told to it. To transmit the second seed, we must humble ourselves to our stories and not try to use them for our own moralistic ends. They were created by beings far wiser than our modern selves. If you tell or transmit stories, be very respectful to their original form and don't change them unless you feel a poetic upwelling. You can recognize a true story by the way its images linger in your mind. It imprints itself on your psyche. You get the feeling that something else has been transmitted alongside the plot, something invisible. The third seed was the indigenous tribes, the people who at some stage opted out of the journey of separation. Imagine that at the outset of the journey, the Council of Humanity gathered and certain members volunteered to retreat to remote locations and forego separation, which meant refusing to enter into an adversarial, controlling relationship to nature, and therefore refusing the process that leads to the development of high technology. It also meant that when they were discovered by the humans who had gone deeply into the separation, they would meet with the most atrocious suffering. That was unavoidable. These people of the third seed have nearly completed their mission today. Their mission was simply to survive long enough to provide living examples of how to be human. Each tribe carried a different piece, sometimes many pieces, of this knowledge. Many of them showed us how to see and relate to the land, animals, and plants. Others show us how to work with dreams and the unseen. All of them exemplify a way of being that we intuitively recognize and long for. They stir a memory in our hearts and awaken our desire to return. Our culture's fascination with all things indigenous is not merely the latest form of cultural imperialism and exploitation. Underneath that, we recognize that the surviving First Peoples have something important to teach us. We are drawn to their gifts, to the seed that they have preserved until the present time. Now that converging ecological and social crises reveal the bankruptcy of our ways, we have the eyes to see the ways of others. The seeds of reunion are sprouting everywhere. That which was hidden for millennia is coming to light. Soon fertilized by our decaying civilization, the sprouts will mature, bloom, and bear fruit. Our job is first to receive them, and then to spread them everywhere, and to guard and foster them with every ounce of our love.
This past week, I had the opportunity to visit the Cleveland Natural History Museum with some friends. There is an exhibit there on flying dinosaurs. Have any of you experienced it? One part of the exhibit has a virtual reality space where you can move your arms like wings so that the pterodactyl on the big screen in front of you soars over a primeval forest. But there are also diagrams showing how the wings are shaped to give the wings lift. Do you know what else has wings that are that same shape? Airplanes, exactly. We humans often copy things in nature, and there's a word for this. Does anybody know the word? Biomimicry, right. Please say biomimicry. We humans often borrow or take from nature, but we don't always give nature full credit for the idea. The word biomimicry reminds us to give nature credit. The interconnected web of nature has a wisdom that far surpasses that of humanity. We humans are clever, we're able to figure things out, but true wisdom draws from a wider range of knowledge and experience and creates a deeper understanding. Nature's wisdom operates as a symbiotic system where all of the parts work together to benefit the whole. Will you say symbiotic with me? Symbiotic. Our guided meditation asked us, or helped us, to imagine what life is like in a symbiotic community where everyone shares their extra food and trusts that others will share as well. The seeds that Charles Eisenstein described in our readings are invitations to us Earthlings. He is asking that we recommit to be citizens of the planet, perhaps even of the universe. Are we ready to listen to wisdom stories with new ears? Are we ready to learn how from the mystics, how we might experience and be conscious of our interbeing? Are we ready to learn the old ways from indigenous peoples? Are we ready for a new story of humankind? So-called civilized people are living in an old story rooted in extraction, where people with power take from the earth to benefit only themselves, and they pollute the land, air, and water in the process. This story of civilization is a story of exploitation and oppression, where the people in power treat other people, especially people who live within a different story, as less than fully human. But I believe a new story is emerging in the West. These seeds planted by our distant ancestors are starting to sprout, and the green blades of hope are beginning to dot the landscape. A counterculture is developing, much like a symbiotic root system of connection and fortification that provides resilience. Some call it the Great Turning, a change in human consciousness and self-understanding that will dwarf the accomplishments of the Renaissance and Newtonian science. Will you say Great Turning?
Great Turning.
The thing is, this Great Turning needs us. It needs communities of humans who live into the new story based on the ancient wisdoms of our interconnection and interbeing. The new story where there is no oppression or exploitation, but instead there is mutuality. This new story needs practicers of permaculture and renewable energy, and activists who side with love rather than disconnection and oppression. The old story says, why bother unless you can make big things happen? The new story tells us that we shape our future with all of the small choices that we make, as well as the large. For some, it may be eating only plants. For others, it might be driving an electric car. For others, it might be standing up for racial justice. For others, it may be creating textiles to make other lives better. Moreover, this Great Turning needs us to tell our stories, not to one-up or diminish the stories of others, but to create the diverse tapestry of interbeing so that we can all admire its complexity and beauty. Our congregation and UU congregations around our region are learning the practices of peace circles, one of the many gifts that Indigenous peoples have given us. Will you say peace circles with me? Peace circles. As a favorite hymn reminds us, when we tell our stories from deep inside and listen with a loving mind, then our heart is in a holy place. There is another vision of the impending turning, one held by Steve Bannon, former strategic advisor to the 45th president and past executive chairman of the alt-right publication Breitbart. He imagines a total breakdown of American society during some sort of World War III scale catastrophe, and a new government picking up the pieces by establishing a new, highly controlled order. In other words, fascism. I won't ask you to say that word. Liberal faith is not a blind faith. It is a faith that asks us to listen to our own hearts and minds, to listen deeply to one another, especially to those voices that are not part of the dominant white hegemony, and to use what we learn together to dismantle the injustice and to build the beloved community. Congregations like this one are essential labs for humans relearning how we can be in community in harmony with the rest of the earth. We don't need to be perfect at it. We just need to be committed to the practice and willing to share our stories about what our vision for the future is. One of my favorite prayer books for the Great Turning is by Yoko Akili called Dear Universe. A message from the universe. Remember, oppression thrives off isolation. Connection is the only thing that will save you. Remember, oppression thrives on superficiality. Honesty about your struggles is the key to liberation. Remember, your story can help save someone's life. Your silence contributes to someone else's struggle. Speak so we all can be free. Love so we all can be liberated. The moment is now. We need you. Amen, and blessed be.
It's giving. Oh, storm can shake my ears.
we all can be free. Love so we all can be liberated. The moment is now. We need you. Amen, and go in peace.